brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyer, America's right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. And tonight is the night of George W. Bush's State of the Union address. Just a few years back, Bill Clinton was giving his annual message to the American people, as required by the U.S. Constitution. And we titled it the State of Their Union address, because it was just a short time after Monica Lewinsky's dress was found to contain the evidence of Bill Clinton's lies. So it was the State of Their Union address. And we are thankful that that political discourse has been raised in this administration. We are thankful of that and of George W. Bush's prosecution of this war against terrorism and how fabulously successful it has been in Afghanistan, destroying a government and dismantling a terrorist base with almost without casualties. It's a new era of warfare, and of course that's great. Now, we've got a monitor in our KGov studio, and we have closed caption on, but we'll see. If any of you out there hear anything in the president's speech of interest, feel free to call in about it tonight or later in the week. Our phone number, 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. I got an email from an employee of Sony Corporation. And this Sony worker, he was quoting a Bible verse to one of his coworkers. And the woman he was quoting to was not a Christian. And so he quoted her Matthew 21:44, which basically said, if she doesn't become a Christian, that Jesus will grind her to powder. That's what the verse says. He will grind her to powder. And so, the question I have to you is, how do you think this coworker would respond? How angry do you think she would become at the guy who's a fan of Bob Inyer Live for quoting her a Bible verse saying that Jesus would grind her to powder? Because she's a middle-aged woman, and she had heard about Jesus her whole life, and she had not become a Christian. And so he quotes her from Matthew 21:44 that Jesus will grind you to powder if you don't get saved. That's pretty good. Now, I want to read you the email he sent me. Dear Bob, I won't give his name because I already said he works for Sony. And, you know, we keep our friends anonymous unless they tell us otherwise. But, by the way, Dick Cheney walked in. So Dick Cheney is tonight. He's not 5 miles away from the press. Was that Dick Cheney I saw? I'm not sure. Donald Rumsfeld, John Ashcroft, all showing up for Bush's State of the Union address. Not the State of Their Union address. The State of the Union address. Okay. So here's the email from this anonymous Sony employee. Dear Bob, I just received the Genesis Creation and Genesis Flood audio albums in the mail as a Christmas present from my mother. And I've been listening to them at work. Being able to listen to your Bible study albums at work offers a much needed refuge from all the vulgarity and talk of fornication that surrounds me there. Huh? You mean at Sony, they would be vulgar with the movies they make? What a surprise. Well, I guess not a surprise, huh? Okay. So anyway, he's surrounded by fornication, by talk of fornication. My workplace is basically a den of adulterers and perverts who boast in their immorality. Rebuking and mocking them has become a tiring practice, but it has shown some fruit. And then he defines fruit in two ways, fruit being good results and fruit being it has exposed several of them as the raving fruitcakes that they are. Okay, so there's a new meaning these days to when you bear good fruit in your Christian ministry. About 8 months ago, I got to pray with a coworker as she became a Christian, and it was without a doubt the best moment I've had at Sony. The interesting thing about my witnessing to her was that one of the first verses I quoted was not John 3:16 or any other verse that proclaims the love of God. Yes, I gave her those verses later, but rather it was Matthew 21, verse 44. And I told her that Jesus was going to grind her to powder. And now George W. Bush is entering in to the House of Representatives to address a joint session of Congress. And the difference between Bush and Clinton, and I'm not a George W. Bush fan, but I'm thankful of how he's prosecuted this war. The difference between Bush and Clinton as they greet a crowd, as they walk down and they're shaking hands and greeting people, is that Bill Clinton, when he came to a good-looking woman, then he would always shake the hands of people two or three rows behind her. He would normally shake the hands of the first person in line in a row, in the front row. But for some reason, whenever he came to a good-looking woman, he saw somebody two or three rows behind her that he had to greet personally. It's just an uncanny coincidence that no one will ever be able to understand. It's one of those unanswerables, imponderables in life. Like, why do you park in a driveway and drive on a parkway? You could never know. It's imponderable. Okay, so to get back to this Sony employee, he told her that Jesus was going to grind her to powder. And he writes to me, "You should have seen the look on her face. It was one of absolute shock and amazement. Her whole life, she had heard about how God loved her, but she had never heard that he would grind her to powder if she did not repent. 5 days later, I led her in prayer to become a Christian." What an awesome day at work. I can't wait for the next time that I get to pray with a coworker like that. Isn't that exciting? Bob, thank you for your ministry. I've learned from it since I became a Christian 6 years ago, and I truly believe she would have not been saved if she had only heard more love-only verses. Hey, that's pretty neat. All right. And so George W. Bush is getting tremendous applause. And we'll turn the volume up here on our studio monitor because we're coming to a commercial break. And we got a microphone right up to the monitor. We might consider miking the president right after this.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23? Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christlike, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. And always easy to understand and clear-thinking, Pastor Bob Benyard rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child rearing delivered by Pastor Enyart to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
And we are back, Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. George W. Bush just said that in a short time we destroyed Afghanistan's terrorist network and freed a nation from tyranny. And he says that now our American flag flies over our embassy in Kabul. And that's all good. So anyway, the email, I finished the email. I finished the email, and the Christian at Sony has won a gal to the Lord by starting off with a really harsh verse that Jesus will grind her to powder. Now, let's tune in just for a moment to Bush as he's giving his State of the Union address.
Afghanistan, Chairman Hamid Karzai.
Maybe I'll talk over him as he's giving his speech. We'll see how this works. The Afghanistan leader is bowing. He's got a nice Afghan on.
The last time we met in this chamber, the mothers and daughters of Afghanistan were captives in their own homes, forbidden from working or going to school.
True.
Today, women are free and are part of Afghanistan's new government. And we welcome the new Minister of Women's Affairs, Dr. Seema Sumar.
Minister of Women's Affairs. If she continues to get approval from the U.S. Congress, that will mean that she's pushing for abortion and the right for homosexuals to marry. So let's hope that in a short time, the same body will boo her.
Our progress is a tribute to the spirit of the Afghan people, to the resolve of our coalition, and to the might of the United States military.
And what a military we have. What an excellent military. Laser-guided weapons, unmanned drones.
When we called our troops into action, I did so with complete confidence in their courage and skill. And tonight, thanks to them, we are winning the war on terror. The men and women of our armed forces have delivered a message now clear to every enemy of the United States, even 7,000 miles away, across oceans and continents, on mountaintops and in caves, you will not escape the justice of this nation.
Amen. Amen. And I like it when the bad guys get it, whether it's in a movie, or on the battlefield, or in the courtroom, or in the electric chair, when the bad guys get it, you cheer. For the righteous will rejoice when they see the vengeance. Now the wicked, they cheer in movie theaters too, because they think justice is not eternal.
For many Americans, these 4 months have brought sorrow and pain that will never completely go away. Every day, a retired firefighter returns to Ground Zero to feel closer to his two sons who died there. At a memorial in New York, a little boy left his football with a note for his lost father. Dear Daddy, please take this to heaven. I don't want to play football until I can play with you again someday. Last month at the grave of her husband, Michael, a CIA officer and Marine who died in Mazar-e-Sharif, Shannon Spann said these words of farewell. Semper Fi, my love. Shannon is with us tonight.
Michael Spann's widow, who is there, and she makes you think of Jihad Johnny Ben Walker Black, who should be executed for treason, participating on the side of the enemy when her husband was killed defending our country, and Lynn Walker, whose father walked out on his family to move in with a homosexual man. We see the differences between the two, those who support and defend and those who kill.
Shannon, I assure you and all who have lost a loved one that our cause is just and our country will never forget the debt we owe Michael and all who gave their lives for freedom. Our cause is just, and it continues. Our discoveries in Afghanistan confirmed our worst fears and showed us the true scope of the task ahead. We have seen the depth of our enemies' hatred in videos where they laugh about the loss of innocent life. And the depth of their hatred is equaled by the madness of the destruction they design. We have found diagrams of American nuclear power plants and public water facilities, detailed instructions for making chemical weapons, surveillance maps of American cities, and thorough descriptions of landmarks in America and throughout the world. What we have found in Afghanistan confirms that far from ending there, our war against terror is only beginning. Most of the 19 men who hijacked planes on September the 11th were trained in Afghanistan's camps, and so were tens of thousands of others. Thousands of dangerous killers, schooled in the methods of murder, often supported by outlaw regimes, are now spread throughout the world like ticking time bombs set to go off without warning.
Most will go away.
Thanks to the work of our law enforcement officials and coalition partners, hundreds of terrorists have been arrested.
Most of those terrorists will go away when they realize that their organization has been decapitated. They will be demoralized and they'll lose the vision that Osama had given to them.
Wherever they are.
And we've got troops in the Philippines now and Indonesia.
So long as training camps operate, so long as nations harbor terrorists, freedom is at risk, and America and our allies must not and will not allow it. Our nation. Our nation will continue to be steadfast and patient and persistent in the pursuit of two great objectives. First, we will shut down terrorist camps, disrupt terrorist plans, and bring terrorists to justice. And second, we must prevent the terrorists and regimes who seek chemical, biological, or nuclear weapons from threatening the United States and the world.
And the way we do that effectively is to destroy any government that harbors terrorism, promotes it, or supports it.
Camps of Afghanistan out of business. Yet camps still exist in at least a dozen countries. A terrorist underworld, including groups like Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, Yaishi Mohammed, operates in remote jungles and deserts.
How about Fatah, in the center, Arafat's own organization?
While the most visible military action is in Afghanistan, America is acting elsewhere. We now have troops in the Philippines, helping to train that country's armed forces to go after terrorist cells that have executed an American and still hold hostages.
Threatening to behead them.
Our soldiers, working with the Bosnian government, seized terrorists who were plotting to bomb our embassy. Our Navy is patrolling the coast of Africa to block the shipment of weapons and the establishment of terrorist camps in Somalia. My hope is that all nations will heed our call and eliminate the terrorist parasites who threaten their countries and our own. Many nations are acting forcefully. Pakistan is now cracking down on terror, and I admire the strong leadership of President Musharraf.
Musharraf is the one who helped establish the Taliban. Boy, he's been redeemed, huh? When you need an ally, politics makes strange bedfellows. But he's turned around.
But some governments will be timid in the face of terror. And make no mistake about it, if they do not act, America will.
And I like that. We don't need a UN resolution. We don't need the support of our allies. If there's a terrorist base in a country, we take it out because they're a threat to us. And if the country government objects, then they're on the side of the terrorists. The terrorists are their foreign policy ministers.
Our second goal is to prevent regimes that sponsor terror from threatening America or our friends and allies with weapons of mass destruction. Some of these regimes have been pretty quiet since September the 11th, but we know their true nature. North Korea is a regime arming with missiles and weapons of mass destruction while starving its citizens. Iran aggressively pursues these weapons and exports terror, while an unelected few repress the Iranian people's hope for freedom. Iraq continues to flaunt its hostility toward America and to support terror. The Iraqi regime has plotted to develop anthrax and nerve gas and nuclear weapons for over a decade. This is a regime that has already used poison gas to murder thousands of its own citizens, leaving the bodies of mothers huddled over their dead children.
Go ahead, say it. Saddam.
This
Saddam.
Is a regime that agreed to international inspections, then kicked out the inspectors. This is a regime that has something to hide from the civilized world.
And they shoot at our planes.
States like these and their terrorist allies constitute an axis of evil, arming to threaten the peace of the world by seeking weapons of mass destruction. These regimes pose a grave and growing danger. They could provide these arms to terrorists, giving them the means to match their hatred. They could attack our allies or attempt to blackmail the United States. In any of these cases, the price of indifference would be catastrophic. We will work closely with our coalition to deny terrorists and their state sponsors the materials, technology, and expertise to make and deliver weapons of mass destruction. We will develop and deploy effective missile defenses to protect America and our allies from sudden attack.
And endangered species. Tell liberals that a missile shield will protect endangered species. Because what species could survive a direct nuclear hit? Then they'll support
it. America will do what is necessary to ensure our nation's security. We'll be deliberate. Yet time is not on our side. I will not wait on events while dangers gather. I will not stand by as peril draws closer and closer. The United States of America will not permit the world's most dangerous regimes to threaten us with the world's most destructive weapons.
Amen. Woo! I like that. It's good. Bush is doing a good job prosecuting this war against terrorism. It's too bad we had such a soft underbelly that it took the death of 3,000 before we moved as we should have. I want to say goodbye now to people in Denver who only get the first half hour of the show. And, hey, call us later in the week, 800-8-NYART.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
Yeah, you must be them NYARC people. Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things you just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know if you're the guy I've seen on Politically Incorrect. Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool. and you need to keep up the good work. So this is George from Jersey. Out!
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart. So if you could give me a buzz, my name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website, and then I saw you on Politically Incorrect 3 times, and, well, I'm going to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against n***** too, right? Yeah, n***** Let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart. Check my
Bob. All right, welcome back to Bob Inyart Live, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. Doing the show during the State of the Union address. We'll bring up the Bush audio. And he did give a re-election bid during our commercial break. He said that our campaign against terrorism will not be finished on his watch.
Margins increase in defense spending in 2 decades. Because while the price of freedom and security is high, it is never too high. Whatever it costs to defend our country, we will pay.
Amen to that. You know, one reason we have so many plane crashes and helicopter crashes in Afghanistan and Pakistan is because Clinton gutted the spending for the training of our military. And we've got to rebuild.
The next priority in my budget is to do everything possible to protect our citizens and strengthen our nation against the ongoing threat of another attack. Time and distance from the events of September the 11th will not make us safer unless we act on its lessons. America is no longer protected by vast oceans. We are protected from attack only by vigorous action abroad and increased vigilance at home. My budget nearly doubles funding for a sustained strategy of homeland security focused on 4 key areas: bioterrorism, emergency response, airport and border security, and improved intelligence. We will develop vaccines to fight anthrax and other deadly diseases. We'll increase funding to help states and communities train and equip our heroic police and firefighters.
Firefighters, great. The only reason we need more police is if we have a lot of crime. And if we don't have a clear policy for how to defend ourselves. If you have a good security policy, you don't need millions and millions of cops.
And sharing, expand patrols at our borders, strengthen the security of air travel, and use technology to track the arrivals and departures of visitors to the United States. Homeland Security will make America not only stronger, but in many ways better. Knowledge gained from bioterrorism research will improve public health. Stronger police and fire departments will mean safer neighborhoods. Stricter border enforcement will help combat illegal drugs.
Nah, as long as we're so wimpy in punishing drug dealers and drug users, we're not going to win the war on drugs.
On the eyes and ears of alert citizens. A few days before Christmas, an airline flight attendant spotted a passenger lighting a match. The crew and passengers quickly subdued the man, who had been trained by Al-Qaeda and was armed with explosives. The people on that plane were alert, and as a result, likely saved nearly 200 lives. And tonight we welcome and thank Flight Attendant Hermes Mutardrey and Christina Jones.
Yeah, Richard Reed pled not guilty. Judge, there must have been somebody else's shoes. I didn't know there was a bomb in them. I just normally light my shoes on a flight across the ocean. I normally light my shoes on fire, and I'm not guilty, Judge. They weren't in my shoes. I didn't know they were bombing them, and I was lighting them for a totally different reason, unknown even to myself.
Once we have funded our national security and our homeland security, the final great priority of my budget is economic security for the American people.
And that means lower taxes. Lower taxes, you have economic security. Provide for a good defense, punish criminals, and low taxes, 5% flat income tax, and you'll have economic security. Because people are better at spending their own money than the government is spending it for them. If millionaire Democrats want to raise taxes, just let them donate their money.
To win the war, protect the homeland, and revitalize our economy. Our budget will run a deficit that will be small and short-term so long as Congress restrains spending and acts in a fiscally responsible manner.
Congress doesn't know how to restrain spending. We only get balanced budgets because the revenue keeps growing because our economy has been strong. But they need to cut spending, something that the Republicans won't do. Bush brags that he increases spending for public education.
We have clear priorities, and we must act at home with the same purpose and resolve we have shown overseas. We'll prevail in the war, and we will defeat this recession.
And you do that by lowering taxes. I'm glad that Bush is not going to give in to the Democrats' demand to raise taxes.
And I support extending unemployment benefits and direct assistance.
No, that's terrible. That's liberalism. It's socialism. And the more money for unemployment, the longer people stay out of work. That's liberalism. Bush doesn't know where to draw the line. He just wants to be a nice guy. So they're showing Ted Kennedy on the screen right now because that's something Ted Kennedy supports.
Yet American workers want more than unemployment checks. They want a steady paycheck.
Somebody gets on unemployment and it hurts them. It doesn't help them. Unemployment is destructive. It's called stealing
America
from your
works,
neighbor.
America prospers, so my economic security plan can be summed up in one word. Jobs.
Jobs, that's right. Work works. Work works. Now, liberals don't understand this, but work works. And if you're concerned about jobs, you have to allow businesses to succeed. Because poor people don't give anybody jobs.
With good schools, and here we've made a fine start.
A fine start with our public education system, because Bush has increased funding for the godless public.
Republicans and Democrats work together to achieve historic education reform so that no child is left behind.
Right. That's a meaningless cliche. And they all applaud for it. It's an ignorant, meaningless.
I work with members of both parties, Chairman John Boehner and Congressman George Miller.
There's Hillary with her royal applaud. That's a funny picture of Hillary.
just as thrilled as she could be to be there. Like the Queen of England applauding a cat walking into the
Senator
room.
Senator Judd Gregg.
So he's talking about all the people he worked with to increase funding.
I was so proud of our work, I even had nice things to say about my friend Ted Kennedy.
And there he is. More people have died. More Americans have died in Ted Kennedy's car than an American nuclear power plant.
I know the folks at the Crawford Coffee Shop couldn't believe I'd say such a thing. But our work on this bill shows what is possible if we set aside posturing and focus on results.
Results mean increased funding for public schools.
There's more to do. We need to prepare our children to read and succeed in school with improved Head Start and early childhood development programs.
Head Start has been proved, even by their founder, that it does not work. Head Start doesn't work. How many decades are we going to give a Head Start? How many tens of millions we're going to spend? It doesn't work. It's government bureaucracy pushed on children.
We must upgrade our teacher colleges and teacher training and launch a major recruiting drive with a great goal for America, a quality teacher in every classroom.
Recruit to bring young people into our teachers' colleges that turn them into socialists and just destroy whatever ability they had to think. And that's where our current group of teachers come from, the teachers' colleges. They're failures.
We also depend on reliable and affordable energy. This Congress must act to encourage conservation, promote technology, build infrastructure, and it must act to increase energy production at home so America is less dependent on foreign oil.
And that was a politically correct way right now of saying open up Alaska and offshore drilling and all, which of course we should do.
Good jobs depend on expanded trade. Selling into new markets creates new jobs. So I ask Congress to finally approve Trade Promotion Authority.
Trade Promotion Authority. How about just free trade? And don't tax it either. Just free trade.
Two key issues, trade and energy. The House of Representatives has acted to create jobs, and I urge the Senate to pass this legislation.
We're going to go to break. We're going to go to break. So our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. And we'll be back right after this.
Bob Enyart teaches the Bible like few others. And one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyart's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection. Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, He carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah, and you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931. Bob's monthly Bible study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver. And we're going through the entire Bible. You can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically if you sign up by credit card. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-NYARD.
And we are back, Bob and Yurt Live, 1-888-8-NYARD, 1-888-836-9278. An instant message we just got. It's all socialist, Bob. My wife had a lady tell her that since we don't have a one-year-old baby, both of us should be working full-time. They've got 6 years and 4-year-old two boys. And yeah, that's a socialist concept. The children should be raised by the state or by an institution. I had my homeschooled engineer, Nathaniel, tell me that when Bush said, don't leave any kid behind, in practical terms, that means take the kids that are in the lead and hold them back. Yeah, I guess that's what that means. And now on the phone, in South Bend, Indiana, Jim, speak your mind.
Yeah, if you, they said in the Bible to judge a tree by its fruits.
Yes.
And you notice Bush is pushing the public school policy when he started out going to give vouchers. And I just wanted to get your comment on that.
Well, our public education system is godless. It's a godless education system.
It's propaganda to push change the hearts and minds of the American people.
You're right. It teaches millions of kids to be pro-abortion, pro-homosexuality, pro-sexual immorality of every sort. That's what it teaches. And it mocks Christianity and traditional family values, and it promotes evolution and mocks creationism. That's what the public schools do. And not only that, the Public School Teachers Union, way over a million strong, is so radically pro-Democrats, the Democratic Party, and yet Bush and his father, they just fall all over themselves to praise the public education system and to give it billions of dollars. So Go ahead, Jim.
When they want to get your kids in school earlier, they figure that the earlier they get your kids in school,
right,
the sooner they can change. So you're
that's why so they
that's
your
kids
Jim
you to change your kids.
Jim, you're right. That's why they promote Head Start. That's why they push Head Start. And Bush is not smart enough to realize that the public school system is the enemy. And homosexuals are the enemy. You know, he appoints homosexuals to high government office, knowingly.
Do you ever think that maybe he ain't what he says he is, and the big record money he had 2 years before and going to Israel and stuff might have been a thing to try and get elected? To get the Christian
well, of course
him.
He's trying to get elected. He's a politician and he campaigns, but he said in the presidential debate that his goal is not to overturn Roe v. Wade. He said that. He appoints, the judges he appoints are overwhelmingly pro-abortion. He destroyed the Texas Supreme Court for a generation by filling it with pro-abort judges.
Yeah, but he also promised that the first official act he was going to do was to move the embassy to Jerusalem. And,
well, I didn't hear that,
he
but I'm
during his campaign.
I didn't hear that, but
compromised on.
Jim, are you able to hear me when I go to interrupt you? I don't know. Maybe we got to boost the volume to your line. Jim, yeah. I didn't hear that, but obviously we haven't done that. And we've been a little bit, we've encouraged Israel a little bit on their stand against Arafat and the Palestinian Authority and the terrorism of the Palestinian community, but we got to do a lot more in that vein because Arafat is a terrorist just like Osama bin Laden. He might not be as capable of as bin Laden was, but he's a murdering terrorist and he needs to be put in the crosshairs just like Osama bin Laden is. So hopefully...
I think he's more of an idiot being used like a pawn.
Who?
Arafat.
Arafat? Who's using Arafat? Hillary?
I don't know, but there's people in the United Nations and stuff that defend him when they know he's completely wrong.
Well, yeah, the world is filled with mostly people who don't care about right and wrong, who don't have wisdom, who will nod and wink at terrorists until it smacks in their own backyard, and then they think right for about 3 or 4 weeks, and then they go back to the way they were. Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you.
I appreciate your call. And, hey, I got an email here. Bob, we want to go to Turkey with you guys. And what are the dates? Well, Lord willing, we're going to Turkey May 1st and for 2 weeks. So I'll leave it as an exercise for the audience to figure out when we get back. But May 1st, and it's a two-week trip. And so hopefully that'll all work out. We're excited about that. Here's another email. Wow, Bob, I was reading your webpage on the prayer of Jabez. Hey, if you haven't seen our material on kgov.com on the prayer of Jabez, you got to turn there and look at it. And this Daryl from Indiana says, this is great. Do you think I'll get a wife and the camels? Well, try those prayers there, Daryl, and see what happens. We sure hope everything goes well for you. All right, and then this email. Bob, did you see Alan Keyes last night? Right after your show, Alan Keyes was on PMSNBC giving his version of what kind of taxes we should have. He is of the school of thought that trade tariffs are the way to fund the government. And of course, if you do that, you give foreign countries power over the financial stability of your country. So in time of warfare, you don't want to have been funding your government by foreign trade. And especially when people say, well, buy American. And the more you buy American, then you defund the military? That doesn't make sense. So that's not the way to fund the government. Anyway, back to the email. As much as I admire Alan Keyes, and yes, I admire him too. As much as I admire Alan Keyes, when it comes to things like taxes and the legal system, he elevates the Constitution and the Founding Fathers above the Bible. In fact, it's like he doesn't think the Bible speaks to these matters. Well, very good point. And I've heard from a guy in the public relations field today. I heard from him that Alan Keyes did a great job on the death penalty on MSNBC a week ago, which we reported to you. And he said, Bob, you know, I really think that he read some of those many death penalty videos that were mailed to him. Because we here at Bob and Yurt Live, we put out a video, the New Testament support for the death penalty. God and the death penalty, the New Testament support for capital punishment. And that video was not only mailed to Alan Keyes, a number of them, many people sent him copies, but we know that it was hand-delivered to him by one of Alan Keyes' staff members. So this guy in the public relations field, he called me up and he said, Bob, I think Keyes has watched your video. Because a couple years ago when he was on America's Voice, he was not able to give a cogent defense of the death penalty. And man, you should have heard him. And so I'm glad to hear that. The same thing happened to Pat Robertson, who couldn't defend the death penalty for his life, and now does an excellent job. And you could hear the sound bites right out of our video. So thousands of copies of our videos have gone out there. They're in church libraries around the country. If your church does not have a God and the death penalty video in it, please do me a favor. Write down this number. Call. Tonight, tomorrow, on the weekend, whenever, call. Order this video. Leave your name and number. Order it over the web at kgov.com. You could order it there where it says Get Bob's Materials. It's God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment. All right? So, okay. Should we catch the very last comments of the president here? Let's go back to our monitor.
Extend the compassion of our country to every part of the world.
Let's see.
So we will renew the promise of the Peace Corps. Ah. Double its volunteers over the next 5 years.
Ah. Yeah, we need more liberals doing a stint in the Peace Corps. learning how to be socialists. That'll help our country. Ha! It'll help the rest of the world. It'll nudge us all to the left.
And ask it to join a new effort to encourage development and education and opportunity in the Islamic world.
I think our government is getting out of its proper boundaries here.
Adversity offers a unique moment of opportunity, a moment we must seize to change our culture. Through the gathering momentum of millions of acts of service and decency and kindness, I know we can overcome evil with greater good.
I'm all for that. It's just nice when the leaders know the difference between good and evil.
And we have a great opportunity during this time of war to lead the world toward the values that will bring lasting peace. All fathers and mothers in all societies want their children to be educated and live free from poverty and violence. No people on earth yearn to be oppressed or aspire to servitude.
I don't know about
or
that.
Or eagerly await the midnight knock of the secret police. If anyone doubts this, let them look to Afghanistan, where the Islamic street greeted the fall of tyranny with song and celebration. Let the skeptics look to Islam's own rich history with its centuries of learning and tolerance and progress. America will lead by defending liberty and justice because they are right and true and unchanging for all people everywhere.
All right. And there, that last image, as our show ends, we remember that a woman in Denver was stopped from getting on an airplane at DIA because she had knitting needles. It was an elderly woman. They wouldn't let her on the plane. They were afraid she was going to knit an Afghan. And boy, that would have been a problem. Hey, I only got a minute left. What do I got here? I want to end with Malcolm X's grandson. Remember his grandson? Now, Malcolm X died some years back, and his grandson killed his grandmother. So Malcolm X's own grandson killed Malcolm X's wife when she was an older woman, 61-year-old grandmother, by setting fire in her apartment, and he pleaded guilty to arson and other charges. And she was in her apartment and was killed by her grandson. He was 12 years old at the time. So what they did was put him in the juvenile justice system. And at the time, we pointed out that guarantees his life is over. So now he's 17 years old. He's been in and out of juvenile detention. Now he's out, but now he's back in, I guess, because on Friday, he was in a stolen car and he was arrested. And he's charged with 2 counts of second-degree robbery, 1 count of first-degree burglary. He gave police a fake name. He was accused of assaulting a 17-year-old, threatening him with a gun, robbing him of $100, then going to the victim's home, stealing money there, and assaulting the victim again. And he's in jail. So that's the problem. We just got an instant message. Send Shabazz to Afghanistan. Our own criminal justice system is corrupt and our leaders don't know it nor how to fix it. This is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.